Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting paid for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now. Just when you thought it was safe to return to the waters.
Everybody, and welcome to TagCast episode 439.
Hi.
I'm Gatch.
Yeah. I'm Terry. Yeah. Welcome. Oh, wait. Welcome to the TagCast podcast episode 439. We're swimming around in a sea of D.O.
Yeah, we are.
My script was not responding on my browser, so I had to go with D.O.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
It's a fine pick.
It's been a long time since we heard some D.O. on the show.
Yes.
Maybe the first time ever.
Maybe.
Hey, we got a guest on the show today. I'm sure he likes D.O. too. What's up, Flames?
Hey.
Sean Quinett burning up the
midnight oil.
Yeah, he's burning the midnight oil.
Yeah.
Whatever he's doing.
How is that? You a big fan of that song by Midnight Oil?
How can we sleep when our beds are burning?
No.
No?
Not meddling enough.
Now, here's an interesting thing on the subject of D.O. When I first got together with my now wife, she saw a D.O. cassette tape on the dash of my truck. And she's all, what? D.O. breaker? like, she didn't like D.O., but I've kind of swayed her back into that. It doesn't bother. Like, her main thing was that his voice bothered her, but... Mm-hmm.
He's got a great voice.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And he was so short.
You just got to know that he's into it, and that's, you know, he's serious about it. You know, he's not, like,
I mean, physically,
being silly about it.
Physically, he was even shorter than his own life. Which was pretty short.
Man, that's a keeper.
I know. I just thought of that. Vivian Campbell, listen to that motherfucker. Now you know what he's doing? Playing for Def Leppard.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, man. What happened? You know, I did see Def Leppard on, like, one of those Sonospheres on Axis TV where they have all those concerts.
Mm-hmm.
They picked the coolest songs to play. They played, like, Wasted. I mean, they probably played them all, but as far as broadcasting them on the TV show, they played Wasted and, like, some other old songs from, like, High and Dry that I can't remember right now, but...
Yeah.
I figured it was going to be all, like, Armageddon it. Which is just rude to write a song called that after your drummer has lost his arm.
Yeah.
Are you getting it? It's a joke about your arm. Yep. Armageddon it. Don't drive drunk, kids, because you'll lose your arm, and as a drummer, that could be a bad thing.
Was he the guy that was in those Arrested Development episodes?
No, that was Buster.
No, the guy with the...
The one-arm guy that taught lessons, yeah. Just take it from Rick Allen from Def Leppard. Don't leave notes. don't leave the house without leaving a note.
Yeah.
Or something like that again. I wonder if he's going to show
always
up.
Always replace the milk.
I wonder if he's going to show up on the new AD.
I'm not saying nothing.
Oh, I could just keep wondering. I came across this thing.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to throw any spoilers.
I saw a post about 2 hours before midnight on Sunday when Arrested Development was released, and it said, it was from the guy from RockMyMonkey.com.
Mark Karras.
Yeah, he said, fake spoiler alerts, Arrested Development, go!
Oh, nice.
But I didn't even, there was no, nothing. There was nothing.
Yeah, silence.
Yep, he didn't get any reviews or any comments. So.
I will say, I didn't get any... downtime.
You just blasted through 15
episodes.
Blasted
through. I got a late start, and I was like, damn it, because I was like, now there's no way I'm going to be the first to stop, finish it, you know? Because I clicked on it. I was all excited. I'm clicking. I was looking. I was trying to find the... it was 3 minutes till, and I'm like, I'm going to find something funny to post. And so I was trying to generate one of the Ermigerd... girl.
Oh, God.
Ermigerd, Arrested Development, Marathon. And then it wasn't working. And then I missed it by like 2 minutes. I was like, shit. So I went there and I clicked, the page changed. And I clicked on resume because that wasn't an option before. And I thought, well, resume.
Resume.
Where? I'm on season 4.
I don't want to start
and
over.
And then I clicked back to try to work on that meme again. And didn't work, and then I clicked back, and I was like, well, this isn't the back dialogue of what happened before. This is episode 2 from season 1.
God damn it! You ever watch Arrested Development, Sean?
Oh, once in a while.
They were off the air. They got canceled in 2005 after 3 seasons, which was just a fallacy is what it was, I think, because that was a great show. And now they've came back for their 4th season, released all 15 episodes at midnight on Sunday, Saturday midnight, whatever you want to call it, on Netflix exclusively.
Oh.
No commercials, nice. No waiting till next week, till the show comes out. So you know how Gatch is. He's like, I'm watching the whole season.
I did. He watched. And to tell you the truth, piecemealing it every week, it would have really confused me.
Why? Because you wouldn't remember what happened in the previous episode? There was a lot of jumping around, wasn't there?
Yeah, because it's all on a vertical time scale.
Yeah, and it's been 8 years since they've had their last season, so it's like weird.
And and
you could have had
each one kind of fills in a little bit of a story of what's been going on since.
Yeah. Huh.
I'll have to get Netflix.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not.
Netflix is a good time.
Want to say too much.
You want to?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I watched it. There's some parts that I want to throw out there, but I don't want to.
Okay, check this out.
I don't want to ruin it.
This is actually directed at you, Gatch. Creator Mitch Hurwitz of Arrested Development suggests that viewers not binge watch all of them in a row. So, you fucking dummy. What are you doing?
Well, yeah, because then now there's nothing. But I'll watch them again.
No, that's not why. He said because... Because you'll get tired.
I did.
One of the producers came by when...
I did probably episode 12. I was like, now, at 12, you got to finish, right?
Yeah. Well, if you get to 12, yeah. I would have
and,
to say.
Yeah, and I was like, I was pretty getting really restless.
So I was going to try to check out some some fan reaction via Twitter.
Ah!
But it's not working out for me. So we'll
you're
just...
not worried about the spoilers that could be involved?
Yeah, I guess I just... That's probably why it's not working. My browser is not responding because it doesn't want to spoil it for me.
Yeah. That's you don't want anything spoiled on there, dude.
No. I'm going to have to go back and watch one of the episodes over already because I fell asleep halfway through and I was already all confused. And plus, you know, like you got the Netflix adultery or whatever, you know, because my wife has always loved that show, but she'll never want to watch them as fast as I want to get them watched. So I could just watch them and then pretend like I didn't watch them and then watch them with her and act surprised when things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Michael has sex with Lucille too. Ooh. That's gross. Yeah. That's Liza Minnelli, you guys. And she's,
I know.
She was looking pretty haggard compared. I mean, actually, in comparison,
Portia, she looked more the same.
Yeah, than Portia de Rossi and that Barbara, or not Barbara Walters, Nancy Walter. I don't know what her name is, but the
Nancy
one that plays
Jean.
The Billie Jean, Billy Walters.
Not my lover. You know, did you see that recent painting flames of my honey?
Ooh, B. Arthur.
B. Arthur, topless.
I did. I did have. I didn't see the.
Oh well, did you see it or did you? Part. Okay.
I saw the paintings, but it was kind of blurred out on the.
Sold for $1.9 million. Dustin got outbid at the last minute.
Yep.
Somebody likes B. Arthur.
Well, this guy right here.
I know.
Who's got two thumbs and likes B. Arthur naked? That guy. One finger and a fist.
I got two pinkies too, man.
Have you guys heard that song yet? You guys probably don't listen to the radio very much. Maybe one old.
Yeah, a finger and a fist.
There's some new song that is just so retarded.
Is that a double penetration thing?
One finger and a fist. Oh, say so. I think what they're getting at is this. This is probably the one finger and a fist flipping you off,
oh,
right?
But when it just I sounds first so metal when you say one finger and a fist.
When I heard it, it was like this. Like you point your finger and you shake your fist like I'm gonna kick your ass. One finger and a fist, and I don't even remember what the rest of the chorus says because it's so stupid. But
because after they say that, you're trying to mentally image what the fuck is going on in their head.
Or, yeah, like it could be a porno move, like you said. Like one finger and a fist.
Yep.
Fisting plus a pinky or whatever. I don't know. It's like a...
Well, you give them a little shake, you know?
You do?
Yeah. Well, you give them a little shake and then you fist.
You fist them up and then you just shake them like,
yeah,
get off of my fist, bitch.
Or, yeah, or you get the fist and then you get the little finger extension.
Oh, you like one fist and a finger.
Yeah.
See, like I thought I was
new song right there.
One fist and a finger. You know the pain's gonna linger. Hey, have you heard any good new records or songs lately, Flames, that you've really like thought, man, that's awesome, besides One Finger and a Fist?
I haven't really lately.
Really? Well, you've just been listening to like older shit or
I do.
That's right. You said you were listening to Amon.
I've been
the Jamaican metal band Amon Amarth.
Amon.
Yeah, lately I've been listening to a lot of Amon Amarth.
Jamon. So are they pretty Jamon or what? Are they Jamon?
They're Jamon, man.
Yeah, yep. But they're like kind of like that.
They're heavy and fast. Yeah. They're heavy and fast.
Yeah, but no singing, right?
Yeah, they're singing.
Oh, do they do clean singing? Not just.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. I haven't listened to enough of them. I only have a couple songs on compilations, but. Gonna have to check them out because you are one of many friends who have said, I dig Amon Amarth. They're really cool for Jamaican metal.
I remember that one band that had the super high vocals and then the super low growls. Was it Paradise Lost?
I don't know.
They had like two different singers. The one was a chick, I think, or something that is sang super high. And
Hans. Hans, question for Hans. Hey, Hans, Paradise Lost. Hans. You turned me on to
That's
Paradise.
That's why I said it, so I could raise some metal points up over.
Yeah, see, because that makes me look bad. Thanks, Gatch. Appreciate it. Oh, the great Gatsby. Yeah, Hans was into Paradise Lost before I ever thought that stuff was even going to be cool later.
Yeah.
Like, he was Doom before Doom was cool. Yeah. He was turning me on to Cathedral and Paradise Lost, and we're like, Hans, cheer up, buddy. Why is everything got to be so slow and gloomy? He's like, I hate summer. Can't we just have more gloomy weather? And I got this new riff. Listen, it goes, bow, 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 wow, like 12 times. I'm like, dude, can't we just go? He's like, you guys do way too much speed.
Have you been having fun playing with your little looper?
Yeah, actually, I got to use it quite a bit at that party last Saturday because those people at that party like country. They wanted to hear some Hank Jr.
So you'd play a little country thing and record it, and then you'd be all blazing metal solo over the top?
To us, country is playing some Bone Jars classic rock like, give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself. So it's pretty cool because like while I'm singing the verse, which is usually in a classic rock song the same progression that the solo goes over. I can push my looper button and then play the verse while I'm singing it. And then when the chorus gets done, I can push the button again, and it plays the verse, rhythm, and bass, and then I can do a guitar solo over it. Now, sometimes it's hard for the drummer, not just Jake, but any drummer, to stay together with a looper pedal because there's no give and take like there is between a live drummer and a guitarist. Like if one gets, you play off of each other. Yeah. So, and he'd been drinking. He kept making
those excuses.
You lose
that fourth,
he had
that measure beat, you know.
Five drinks and a beer. No, he had like a couple Jello shots, and then he had some mixed drinks and some beers and stuff. And he's like, "I'm sorry, I was fucking up, but I'd been drinking." And blah. I go, "Dude, it's the pedal. Let's blame it on the pedal because the pedal is the guy, this bad guy." But no, everybody was pretty much tripping out because I was doing some acoustic stuff like Simple Man, and I'd get the part going and then loop it and then do solos to it, and then they were like, "Going, what?" So it's kind of a cool little. And like I've been jamming with former Tape Nose, John Manning. You remember him, Toucan, the basketball player. And we're going to get him on the show. He trips out too because I'll get a loop going and then I'll stop playing and he'll look at me and I'm like trying to think of something to play, but I'm not playing, but I'm still playing.
Yeah.
And he'll like stop. And I'll go, "Dude, don't stop." And he's like, "Were you playing or were you?" No,
it's
I wasn't.
Like when somebody stops playing a player piano.
And it keeps playing.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, "Oh, wasn't you ever?"
Yeah. Les Paul started that technology, didn't he? The looping thing.
More.
He had that box on the back of his guitar, and it would record. Because
he invented the multi-track.
Yeah, it had like four little tracks on there. He'd record a loop, and you know, I don't know how long it recorded. It might only been, you know, 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know how much technology.
Yeah.
Could fit.
Yeah.
Now with chips and stuff, they just use like barbecue chips.
Shit. Yeah.
I got a new software. It's a barbecue computer chip.
Yeah, it's not even as big as a fucking Cheez-It.
Barbecue computer chip.
That's a new flavor coming out from Lay's barbecue computer chips. Now with flavorful megabytes.
Ah, get a megabyte.
Take a megabyte of this computer chip.
And some tasty printer.
You should be taking that to their head of marketing, dude.
I'm going to take it on Shark Tank.
Heck yeah, the season's over, but they're casting for the new one.
I know, I'm already auditioning. I didn't want to tell you because you'd be jealous.
A new Master Chef has been on.
Doo-doo.
You like Gordon Ramsay's channel?
Doo-doo.
Man, I don't get to watch it, though. I don't have cable.
You got Hulu?
I don't have.
Hulu would work for you get the Cleveland show, and
that sucks because a lot of people try to say that just to be cool. I don't own a TV.
No, I have a TV.
Yeah, but if you were at my house, you'd watch it, wouldn't you? No. But yeah, some people...
You'd probably stare at it the whole time,
like,
wouldn't you?
What is in that thing? There's people running around, and whoa.
Yep,
you get to go, you probably didn't get to, because I asked you if you've been to any shows. You didn't get to go see Primus on last Saturday at the Cuthbert?
No.
I heard it was quite the extravaganza. It was the first fully 3D music experience live concert.
Really?
Which blew my mind because I thought all concerts were 3D. Like, I see bands and they're rocking and I can see the depth behind them. I can see the amps are clearly behind them.
Yeah.
There's three dimensions, like, every show I've been to. No, but apparently this was on the big screen and they handed out 3D glasses. So, who wants to go to a concert and wear 3D glasses?
I do.
Oh.
Especially if it's Primus.
Okay. I gotcha. That's cool. So apparently they had like a big screen behind him and it was like shooting stuff out at the
audience. That's what the big thing would be, right? You'd use the effects to throw stuff out of the crowd, which would be cool, I guess.
Yeah.
But it might really, you know, I mean.
I'm sure they put on a fucking awesome performance.
Right. What if you're tripping on acid, man? That would be fucking fucked.
It's so funny, like on Facebook, you know how misunderstandings happen, and somebody posted, "Who's going to Primus? I'm so stoked. I got my tickets." And then someone came along, "Yeah, me too. I'm stoked." And then someone came along and said, "Primus sucks." And then somebody said, "Hey, fuck you. Primus is awesome, and I've got my tickets." And they're like, oh, obviously the dude above me isn't an Primus fan, because that's one of their albums and that's their thing. They say that themselves. Primus sucks. It doesn't mean they're a bad band. It just means Slayer. It means Primus or something. So yeah, haven't talked to you since we lost Jeff Hanneman there. What do you think about that? Were you surprised about that? He's trying to lighten the mood.
Benny Hill.
Yakety sax.
I didn't know there was an intro to that.
Sometimes there isn't. On my thing, there isn't. But that scared me there. I was like, what is going on?
That was a sad.
I know. That was
it was. What were your thoughts? Like, did you think that he had died from the spider bite, essentially?
No, I didn't actually know how he died.
I was cirrhosis of
liver,
failure from too much alcohol.
Oh, parter.
He was a parterer. He parted hard. Oh my God, he's partying hard. He died the dude from Slayer, dude.
Yeah, usually when we talk about this, I ask who was your favorite guitarist in Slayer.
Mine?
Yeah.
No, but instead I'm going to ask you who was your favorite drummer in Slayer.
Hey, you might not know how many there were. I am an aficionado, if I do say so
myself. Oh, I know there's more of them. More than one.
Yep, Dave Lombardo. Uh-huh. And for a short, short time, there was a guy named, this is a funny name, I love saying it, TJ Scaglione.
Uh-huh.
That's a funny name. He was a ginger kid.
Who did he play? What album did he play on?
He was not on any albums. He just...
What?
He toured with them and took Lombardo's place, and then Lombardo came back.
Yeah.
And did...
you know why?
Why?
Because they buried him in a pet cemetery.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sometimes dead is better. So then he quits again, and they got John Dette, D-E-T-T-E, who recently did the Australian tour, filling in for Charlie Benante and Dave Lombardo every night.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know that guy's got some fucking stamina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he can play full Anthrax and Slayer sets back to back every night. Pretty fucking awesome. And then they had, where are we now? Dave Lombardo, Scaglione, John Dette, and then the guy from Forbidden and Testament. What's that dude's name? He was in the band for a long time. Come on, the drummer from fucking Slayer.
Scott?
Nope. Just keep saying
Chad.
Names. Nope, nope.
Frank.
Nope. You're saying weird names, dude. Tim. What play? That's close because Tim. He was in a band with fucking Paul.
Paul
Fall.
Andrews.
Full Bostaff.
Oh, yeah,
Paul
there
Bostaff.
You go.
Paul Bostaff.
You got that.
And he was from Divine Intervention to Diabolus and Musica.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lombardo came back for God Hates Us All. And then you might not have heard about this drama, Shauna.
Yeah?
Sorry, I didn't mean to call you Shauna. So they're getting ready to do the Australian tour. And the week before, Dave Lombardo asked Kerry King, hey, just out of curiosity, what's up with the payments? Because we've been touring pretty much nonstop for the last 2 years, and I haven't gotten one check. And he's like, oh, this isn't the time to talk about that because we're going on tour in a week and just, you know, well, don't even ask about that. He's like, well, yeah, I'm gonna because I kind of want to know, you know. And so he goes to go to practice. They're supposed to get together for a rehearsal. Dave waits for Kerry for 5 hours, and he doesn't ever show up. And instead, he gets a text message from their manager that says, you will not be on the Australian leg of the tour. We've decided to get John Dette to come back and fill in for you until we get things straightened out.
He should have a son named Al.
Al Dette?
Oh, Al Dente. Dente.
And apparently, when asked, they said that Slayer only receives 10% of what they clear when they're on tour.
Yeah.
That does not
to split any. Between the four members.
Yeah, that's 2.5% a piece. Now I know that they get royal, or they get their merch stuff, and they get their signings. You know, VIP passes. They get all that, but it just seems ridiculous. So there was a bunch of drama going on, and then Jeff Hanneman passed away, and who knows if Lombardo is going to stay in the band right now? Which wouldn't be Slayer without at least three of them. I don't think.
Can you guys do me a favor?
Probably.
When I die, will you bury me in that pet cemetery, the one they used in the film?
Dude, that's a long ways away, but will you leave some money for us to get out there?
All right. If I leave the money, all right.
Okay.
We'll have a drink
it's
for you.
It's in, like,
too.
Maine, right? Because all
it's
his
in
movies
Maine.
Take place in Maine.
Pretty much.
All
his
books.
80%. You been listening to any of those yet?
How many? No.
Did you listen to The Mute? Because you said you were going to finish it before I did, and I finished. So, ding, 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 ding. Am I a winner?
I don't even remember saying that.
You did. I told you I was reading it. It was about him picking up a hitchhiker who was a mute.
I do remember it now.
And you go, I'm going to. You did. You challenged me. You go, I'm going to listen to it and finish it before you finish
reading it.
It's a good one, though. He goes into this confessional.
I should have listened to it on, like, a super, like, 150
Just speed
beats.
It up a little bit so it talks really fast like this.
Yeah, and I could have had it done by the time you got home.
But what would be your retention? And I'm not talking about
I don't know. It would be a test. It would be a retestion.
Yeah, for sure. So it's kind of cool. I could see it being like a short film or a I don't know. Probably not enough for a movie. He goes into
just
this confessional.
Just rewrite it with just a small little change in there, you know, and the characters or whatever, and make it your own little short movie.
Yeah, so he goes into this confessional to tell this priest about his sins or whatever. And as he's telling this priest, it goes to the story about how he picked up this deaf mute. And then he tells this deaf mute a story because he knows he can't hear him, but he needs to vent and tell him the story about how his wife ended up. It was weird. It was pretty cool, though. You should actually listen to it if you get a chance.
All right.
It's called The Mute.
The Mute. The
He got a whole box set of Stephen King books on audio on CD. I almost tape. I almost said tape, but he's too hardcore to listen to tapes. Audiobook.
Did you ever meet an aunt that couldn't speak?
Mutant?
Yeah.
No, I'd never met maybe someone else's aunt.
All right.
None of my aunts were mute.
I got a lot of aunts. They don't talk.
I had a mutant.
They just crawl around.
I had a mutant aunt.
Really?
Yeah. She was from... Check him out.
I know. Dude, I saw a guy...
He's got pizza buzz.
I saw a guy on the news the other day. He got this hand transplant, and the hand's like double the size of
his regular hand?
Of the other hand, almost. Yeah. Well, I could knock people around.
Wouldn't you think they'd try to match him up a little
bit? But he has no control over it.
What's the point?
Isn't it robotic? Or?
So he'll try to point and it'll be like this.
Ah, one finger and a fist.
Exactly.
So I saw this thing recently about this breakthrough in arm prosthetic technology where this chick was like sewing and she was like doing all this stuff and she had lost both of her arms. And somehow it's got something hooked up to her tendons or something to where when she thinks to move her fingers, it actually hits the buttons inside that make it. And she can, I mean, they look like gloves. They look
weird. That stuff is crazy to me from a scientific point of view, just because you're dealing with nerve and brain impulses and
transferring those impulses
into second nature to you. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, beyond second nature, you know, second nature is kind of something that you've kind of
you can
learned.
Make things, oh, definitely, you can make
to where
things
you know.
Nature.
But this is like instinct. I guess instinct is the next level, right?
Yeah, it's become
where it's like
you could say it's become second nature for me to walk with my prosthetic leg because I've been doing it since I was born. So I don't really have to think about okay, swing the leg. Okay, put it on the foot now. Go to the next foot because you don't have to think about breathing or walking. Yeah. You know, you just do it. So with these new things you just think, pick up the lighter and it picks up. You don't have to say, okay, I got to put those two fingers like you're working a clamp or something like one of those far reacher things where you got to go. Oh, I think I got it.
One of those little dinosaur heads.
Your mind's eye sees it.
Exactly, mind's eye. Oh man,
I've been seeing old Woody Harrelson been doing mind tricks lately
for his new movie.
Yeah, which is about he does some mentalism in the new movie.
Oh, yeah, he freaked David Letterman out. Huh?
And he freaked David Letterman out. David Letterman took a book, and I only caught part of this clip. But he was already guessing the letter. But there was a book, and apparently David Letterman had flipped to the book and picked a word. And then he visualized the word. And Woody Harrelson guessed it, and the word was, like, commissioned. I saw him on another show where he guessed somebody's PIN number.
Star Jones?
Yeah, from visualizing it. She visualized it, and he...
Oh, she visualized it. She read it.
She visualized it, and he guessed it.
So I'm wondering, since this is TV and stuff...
Of course.
If there's a chance that they're just doing this to hype
the movie.
Well,
it could be S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, I'm not...
Now, Woody Harrelson, I like that guy. He's smart. Yeah. He's an activist for marijuana and other things of the sort.
He's a very intellectual and spiritual person that I could believe that he would be into exploring those powers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Whether or not, you know, it's real or...
Was he in S.H.I.E.L.D.? Was he in No Country for Old Men? No, what was that movie where he played that guy that he was like a detective and he was trying to find that guy was going over the, it was like a, I didn't even know he was going to be in it and he showed up like an hour and a half into the movie or something like that. Fuck, what was that movie?
White Men Don't Jump?
No, 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 no. I'm pretty sure it was No Country for Old Men, dude. Josh Brolin had that pack with all the money and then they went across the border into Mexico.
It's been a while since I've seen it. So,
and that Viggo Mortensen or whatever I think was, I don't even know, but.
If you're talking like he just shows up an hour and a half in, it could be.
Because it's like a 2 hour and 20 minute movie.
Yeah.
So,
and
he was trying
probably.
To find the guy. Oh man, I'm going to have to rewatch that because I was just telling my friend Dan Dannon about that the other day.
You sure it wasn't Zombieland when Bill Murray?
Yeah, I'm sure, dude. It wasn't any kind of funny movie. It was a serious movie. And I was telling my friend, because he'd never seen it, how pissed I was at the end of that movie and how pissed I was that Josh Brolin went back to take that Mexican some water. He's like, agua, you know he's going to die. He's fucking shot and bleeding like a stuck pig, okay? You've got fucking millions of dollars in this thing. You got to go back and
so
bring water.
So it was just a shtick to show his compassion at the end?
No, that wasn't at the end, though. That was at the beginning. Remember when... Did you remember that movie, dude? He witnesses...
Since it first came out.
He witnesses the drug deal go down, and then they all shoot each other, and they're all dead. And then he goes down there, and he finds millions of dollars and a bunch of drugs. So he uses the drugs, takes the money, and then he finds a Mexican in the cab of this truck, and he's, like, dying because he's all shot up, and he's going, agua, agua. So he goes home, takes the money home, and then he goes... Take some water back. And then that's when they see him and they start chasing him. And then that dude with the thing. Come on. Let's rewatch that together, okay?
All right. What I remember most about that movie is...
It's how much it made me cough. You coughed that idea right
out. That it was super bloody at the beginning. And it kind of worked backwards to where it was... Almost Hitchcockian to where it didn't even show. It almost, like, made you presume.
Yeah, it showed shots where you can't really see exactly what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, but, you know, when it showed that last final room or whatever, they didn't show any blood. But you knew what,
yeah,
what happened.
You knew there was some death going on.
What's up, Flames?
Huh?
He was in a Trancio.
Yeah.
I think we're boring him.
Mr. Roboto over there.
I was just picking a pot.
You're just over there.
Picking a
dancing.
Spot
I see you. I see you dancing a jig.
He was picking a pot. Don't be picking a pot off show, man. Because we do the best we can. You don't need to come on here and pick us a pot. All right? We'll call up our friends from... We've got friends from Boston, all right? They'll come on here and...
From Boston?
They'll pick you a pot. They pack hot and caviar.
I got a friend from
fucking wicked pissa.
I got a friend from the Netherlands.
Netherlands. Do we have listeners in Lebanon? In Lebanon?
I don't know, but they sent me a postcard.
Dude, it's time for the Gats Attack. Today's episode is brought to you by Asthma Attacks from Gatch. If you'd like an asthma attack, just come on by and scratch his back. Gatch Asthma Attacks. Brought to you by Gatch Asthma Attacks. Brought to you by Fistable Bowling Equipment. Balls you can really get wrist deep into, okay?
Heck yeah.
Okay, you're gonna be okay. Look at him, he's trying to concentrate. He's willing away the cough.
will it
I'm
away.
Trying, man.
I know you're like, I look at you and then I look at Flames and he's all, I'm picking a pot. He's like, I'm willing away my cough. Well, he's got a list in his hand, but he can't read it. He's like, okay, I got this. Well, if you guys can't speak,
yeah,
or if you
ahead.
Can, I got this story. We do crazy Floridians every once in a while. We waited all week because I just was waiting because I didn't know if I wanted to share these stories. But this is pretty funny. You know how people can get pretty stupid when they've sunk to the low of, like, breaking into people's house and stuff like that. So the police of Florida said a burglary suspect who was fleeing from officers allegedly stopped to steal a couple beers from another house. So they're chasing him. They got helicopters and lights, you know. They got the whole chase going on in the Lighthouse Point, Florida. And then they see him go into another house. And so they go towards that house, and then the helicopter sees them come out of the back of the house with two bottles of beer. And long foot pursuit later, they finally caught him. The K-9 unit, he smashed all the TVs and the townhouses that he broke into. He tried to steal some items but couldn't get them out. And then he struck a police dog, resisted arrest. So this dude's in trouble. And he's obviously an idiot, because if you're running from the cops for breaking into a house, you probably shouldn't just zip in one and steal a couple beers for the run.
Had to get his last beer.
It's like, I'm going to jail, man. I ain't going to be able to drink for at least a week.
Yeah. And then that's what he wanted.
And then another dude in Florida, same day, but different city, said a man who he was robbing a bank, and the lady didn't give him any money, so he ran across the street and robbed the drugstore before the cops got there. Wow. So a dude wearing sunglasses and a baseball cap entered the Bank of America location around 12:45 p.m. and he handed a note to the teller claiming that he had a gun and he wanted money. The teller refused to give him money and called the police, like a good teller should, and he just said, well, all right. So he ran across to the CVS discount store and pulled out his gun and left with an undisclosed amount of cash. So you can't just tell people I have a gun. You have to actually get it out.
Yeah.
So that's just for the kids out there.
There ain't no Butterfinger. Butterfinger trick doesn't work.
Nope. Or just the finger.
Yeah.
The finger in the shirt. Mm-hmm. I got a gun. Check it out. It's a fucking little barreled gun, but it'll do the trick.
Well, if you had a real gun and you did that, though, then people wouldn't believe you had it there, and it would be...
And then you'd shoot them.
Yeah.
It's a derringer.
Mm-hmm.
Two shots.
Yep.
Two shot kill. All right, are you ready to share your postcards
Peace
with us
out,
yet?
Hey, Billy. Yeah, okay. I'm on the site postcrossing.com, and I send a postcard somewhere in the world, and someone sends me one from around the world.
Did you send him a bacon one?
Yeah, I think I send him bacon ones.
He's not dead.
This one is from the Netherlands.
I want to go there someday. Okay, read
it. The stamp has a nice tree. It says, Dink Groning Grone. I don't know what that means.
Say that again.
Dink Groning Grone.
What?
Grone.
Groundling. All
right, and so this is from Gerbrick.
What? That's not a postcard. That's a 3x5 card.
It is. Well, what I asked for you, because you could specify what you like, I said, if you like, you could just send me an index card with some art on it, so you can see some art on there.
Whoa, dude.
And it says, put up the garlands. My little girl is turning 2 tomorrow.
That is pretty cool, dude.
And, yeah, from
that's what it says on the backside too. Turning 2 tomorrow.
Yep.
With some banners drawn and some nice little 2s.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty well done.
One upside down 2 that looks like a 5. So I don't know what the fuck's up with that. Backwards 5.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
And then I got another one from. God, I don't know where these are from. Oh yeah, the Ukraine and Kiev.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Like chicken Kiev?
No.
No.
Never. You don't?
Well, I don't know because I've never had it.
It's pretty... No, well, it's just pretty much...
chicken.
A chicken cordon bleu. You like those, right?
Yeah.
But the
yeah.
filling, it's kind of the same where you lay out the chicken, but the filling is an herb butter.
Yeah.
Like,
that sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, it's got like lemon zest and pepper.
Yeah.
And then butter. And that's it. You just wrap that around and it, you know. So I think you'd like it.
I like better.
This one's from there. It's got three stamps on it. They're all flowery, leaves, you know, and then it's an Easter one. They got a lot of X's and backwards R's, C's, K's, a lot of hard consonants in the Ukraine. Hi, Dustin. My name is Tanya. I live in Kiev, Ukraine. Ooh. I completely suck at drawing or painting, so I just send you this Easter postcard. A lot of people in Ukraine are not Catholics, so they celebrate Easter only now, May 5th. Happy post-Rossing.
That's fucking Cinco de Mayo, lady.
It is.
I'm sorry, you can't have Easter on Cinco de Mayo. That's already taken. That's like trying to have Cinco de Mayo on Christmas or something.
These take a while. These take like a month.
Oh, okay.
To travel around.
Yeah.
You know, because international postage, man, it's $1.10, $1.20.
Just for one postcard?
For one postcard or one letter. You can send up to 2 ounce letter to Canada for the same price, but anywhere else it's just 1 ounce or a postcard. Which is insane, man. Like $1.10 for a postcard.
Isn't like 29 cents here or probably 35 now or something? Because the regular
stamps. I think
stamps,
it's 28.
Regular
right
stamps
now,
up to 46.
28 to 32.
Yeah. Because every time it seems like every time I go to the post office to buy a stamp, it's 1 cent more.
It's because like you only go once a year.
No, dude. I go like every month. And it's going up a penny a month, I swear. No, it seems like it, though. No, it's been 46 cents for a while, I guess.
And then sometimes you go to the other store where they charge like an extra penny. I don't even know if that's legal.
Yeah. I don't think it is. So, I was just Peru. That's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, anybody can go there. And postcrossing.com, and you just sign up, and you say, hey, all right, I'm going to send one. They'll give you an address. You send one, and then they put it into their system where somebody sends you one back.
Yeah, that's pretty
just
cool.
Just randomly from around the world. But, yeah, you're most likely going to get somebody from outside the U.S., so it's going to cost you a buck or something. But
yeah.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if I mentioned it on this episode today, but I did mention it on Wednesday and Monday about the tragedy of our godson, little Jaden, who we talk about quite often. His mom's house burnt to the ground on Saturday. And I, Kevin Christman actually got a video of it, and I shared that on my page, and I got a bunch of course, an outpouring of people wanting to help if they think they can do. I didn't even think of this because it's only been it's been a week now, but because it's Friday. But Mitch Chamberlain had a great idea to throw a benefit.
Sure, yeah.
I never even thought about that, but he just said to keep them in mind if they want to throw a benefit together, yo.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wendy Corte said the firemen seem to be moving pretty slow to get to the fire. But the house is, like, fully involved. I mean, there's no reason to rush to save it. I mean,
once it's engulfed.
And it's so weird to see this video of this house just fucking blazing because I was just in it last week.
Yeah.
I was just in it last week for Jaden's birthday party, eating cake and drinking punch. And now all of his toys that he got for his birthday are burnt up. So I feel sorry. I'm glad that he's only three and he doesn't really get the whole perspective of how big of a huge loss it is, but check that out.
Wow.
I was just in that house,
man. That's crazy, man.
And so the firemen should be moving. If you guys want to check out what we're looking at because you can't see it, you can go to my Facebook there on my timeline. There's a video that I shared. And
or you just look in your glasses and you'd see the reflection.
Oh, my God. I haven't even watched this video yet because I didn't want. It's fucking weird. I'm just glad that they weren't home.
Yeah, for sure.
They hadn't seen it.
That's always the first is the.
Red Cross safe. Red Cross got them checked into the Shanico Inn there in Lebanon,
cool.
So they got a place to stay. But they hadn't seen the house burn, so when I shared the video, I knew that Dana was with Jaden and Jill, and I said, "Don't watch this with Jaden yet until you guys watch it," and said, "Because I don't know if he needs to see that."
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he would understand what is going on.
Like, he's smart enough to know things like when his dog got ran over, because they live right on Highway 20 there.
Uh-huh.
He's like, Bear died. He's like, Bear ran out in the street. I mean, yeah. And he's in heaven now.
But it would be a lot to take in, like, you all know, seeing the house that you live in. And, you
like
know,
as
I
a
mean,
big bonfire.
Yeah, and the, you know,
and I know she's going to have to explain. Going to have to explain to him, like when he happens to ask for where's this toy, like his favorite toy, it got burned up. You know, I mean, sucks. She had a lot of stuff.
That is gonna.
So he's going to be there tonight when I get home. So that'll be cool. I'll get to hang with the boy for a while
right
and
on.
Try to keep his mind off of anything that it might be on. So, if you guys are feeling. Charitable. I'm sure that those guys could
use
some donations.
I'll help any way I can, man, if you need,
well,
like...
Well, not you, but I mean the listeners, too, if anyone...
Yeah, but if you need, like, a little page put up that just has an address where people can donate or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
we might even,
you know, just...
put together a PayPal or something.
Any kind of show.
Because I know she has
whatever.
A lot of family and friends and stuff, just mm-hmm. like everybody does, but it's never enough to start over from scratch, you know, so...
Yeah.
And she was renting, didn't have renter's insurance, so... That's just like all that stuff. And the weird thing is there was some people there at her house while she was gone that she knew were there.
Yeah.
And they had left like a half an hour before the fire happened. And I don't like to point any fingers, but this lady's crazy, man. She's crazy. And I could just see her like leaving a burner on or they got a pellet stove that they don't pay attention to sometimes. And
yeah.
Just
there's
scary.
That when that... Stanhope thing that we were talking about a couple days ago, you know, when they estimated whatever it was at 50,000 already, said, we just picked that number arbitrarily because we have no idea what it would cost to rebuild a family when you don't even have a toothbrush.
Exactly. And I was amazed at the outpouring of people's, you know, generosity or whatever, because less than 24 hours, they had $55,000. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And that was for a tornado victim family. Doug Stanhope, comedian, started a fundraiser thing. And
that fucking drunk.
He is, man. He posted the other day how it was so hard for him to stay sober for the city council.
Yeah.
There in Bisbee because he's trying to get some things changed down there. And
sure.
So, yeah, more power to you, Dougie.
Yeah, it's for sure, man. He's one of those... sociopathic.
No,
yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Too. That too, but he, you know, he does a lot of not just humor, but social commentary.
Oh yeah,
you know, he likes to fucking smack you in the face and wake you the fuck up of what's going on, goddamn place, you know, and break some common sense into you once in a while.
That's right, because everybody needs that.
And so, you know,
yeah,
that's also what we're here for, is to wake you fuckers up on a Friday.
Control yourself.
Oh, sorry. Oh, wait, that was last week's episode. Control yourself.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. It's the weekend coming up. You guys got any big plans for Saturday? Or the Lamb of God is coming to the Roseland Theater tomorrow night on Saturday.
Does anybody call them short log?
You know, I see it written log a lot, but I've never seen anybody call it that. But, we talked a long time ago about the conservative people who like to call him Lamb of Golly.
Yeah, Lamb of Golly.
Or Lamb of Gosh.
Lamb of Golly.
They don't like to take the Lord's name in vain, so we say Lamb of Gosh. Gosh darn it.
No, the Gosh darn it tour.
Lamb of Gosh. They're goshing. Yeah, so Lamb of God back in Portland, Randy
I've
Blythe.
I've never really listened to those guys.
Dude, I really got into them when they first, like, broke on the scene, and I went and saw them a few times. God, man, I can't even... they didn't make my top 10 list when Jared was here or anything, but...
Sure.
Fucking damn good. Those guys are really, really good musicians, and to hear the story of how they got together, they met in college, and they were jamming in the dorms and stuff, and... Mm-hmm. Then they just like, oh, they were all jamming, and then like they said, they just tried to kind of draw straws and decide who's going to play drums. And it's like, oh, well. So I ended up playing the drums, and he's just like fucking awesome. That drummer, you've heard that drummer from Lamb of God, Sean? Do you listen to Lamb of God much?
I think I've heard him a couple times.
Willie Adler?
I...
Or no, that Willie is the guitarist.
Is that Steven's brother?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
There's a possibility.
It's a weird thing when you think about how... metal bands form, like, you know, I don't know, extreme metal, death metal.
Yeah, because a lot of those
you know, you don't
like
really
friends.
See beyond the toughness of the stage persona.
Right.
You know, because you know, you got to have that.
Fuck
right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, if you're going to be blasting that, you know, you got to have your stage presence going on.
I still haven't wrapped any up, though. I'm going to do that for my next comedy show. I'm going to bring some presents, mm-hmm. like wrapped up presents, and I'm going to set them on the stage by my mic stand and start doing my comedy show. And then if anybody asks, I'm going to just say this is my stage presence.
See, somebody, I would go Kaufman somebody, with it. You got to go Kaufman-esque with it.
What, never tell them?
No, you go up there, like say you got 6 minutes, right?
Yeah. Or maybe 10, like if I'm going to I'm going to be featuring at the Cornucopia
okay,
next
10.
Month.
So you go up there and you spend 9.5 minutes putting presents on the stage. And then at the end you said, "Thank you all. I've been told I need to work on my stage presence."
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
And, you know, or like Kaufman-esque.
So like,
you know, you're not going to do it every time, but once.
You walk into the back and you bring out a little fake Christmas tree. You set it up and you put some tinsel on it and then you put some things and it's like summer.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? You bring out a couple presents and you put them under the tree.
Uh-huh.
Go off stage for a couple minutes. Come back with some little ornaments for the tree.
Uh-huh.
Bring out the more stage or the more presents.
Yeah.
And then at 9.5 minutes, you just
maybe
you
wheel a bike out there with a bow on it or something like that, you know? And
yeah.
The big present.
Yeah. And see. All right, you guys, thank you very much. Tonight was a building experience for me. I've been working all week on my stage presence. I hope you enjoy them. Thank you. Good night. I'm Andy Kaufman.
Man.
So
performance art.
I'm gonna hit
that some. Might even be, you know, maybe even just a skit.
Yeah.
Maybe even a skit of like, you
or
know,
like
a
short
live
film.
Show.
A short film of a live show.
Yeah, with I like that.
Or say you're just doing it in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the film here. This guy, a guy, he brings out a Christmas tree, but you can tell that it's summertime outside.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing out but he's got a little stage in his house though, with like a backdrop and. Then his friend comes over after about 9 minutes, says, "Dude, what are you doing?" It's like, "I'm working on my stage presence." Fade to black, credits roll.
And then afterwards, after the credits, you could like set that tree up and all the presents out in one of the roads in Brownsville and then have a big old truck just hit it at 60.
Man.
I don't have the budget for that, though.
Pow.
All right, and you guys listen out there. Don't steal our ideas.
Yeah.
Marshall Islands, Falkland Islands. Mm-hmm. Don't falk around, all right?
I tagged one of our episodes the other day. I tagged it North Korean Podcast to see if we'd get any North Korea listeners.
Hey, that's a good idea. You need to put one that says Amsterdam or Bust.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the name of this episode.
Put like 420 and stuff in there.
420 Amsterdam. We don't have any listeners in Amsterdam. We're damn pissed about it. Man,
where is that at? Is that would that be listed under Holland?
Amsterdam. Yes, it is Holland. Yes.
Holland.
You know, on Saturday at that
Williams.
Party, I was talking to some friends, longtime friends of Jake Hughes that I didn't ever met before, and one of them had grown up with Travis Foster. And he's like, "Man, Travis Foster was the badassest drummer, man. He's blah blah blah." And I was like, "Travis Foster is still a badassest drummer." I go, "And you know what he's doing right now?" He's like, "No, man, I haven't seen him for years." I go, "He's touring the world playing his music." And he's like, "What?" I go, "Yeah, they opened for Tool on the East Coast playing for 20,000 capacity crowds." And he's like, "What's their band?" And I'm like, "Yob." And he's like, "Yob?" I said, "Yeah, Y-O-B, Yob." And he's like, "No shit." I was like, "They opened for Slayer in France." And he's like, "What? Get the fuck out of here." And I'm like, "No, dude. They opened for Slayer and Black Sabbath, Lynyrd Skynyrd. They played these festivals overseas, like Europe, Holland."
That would be weird with Skynyrd.
Well, it was two or three stages, you know.
Sure, yeah. Well, I know.
But it was Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue, like, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Black Sabbath, fucking Kid Rock maybe. I don't know. I've heard some people really complaining about the new Kid Rock song. Have anybody heard it?
Nope. And I'm not a big Kid Rock fan.
Oh, I hate him with a fucking vengeance. But yeah. Rebel Soul, apparently.
Now just, he's grown up, though. He's no longer Kid Rock. He's
adult rock?
Like boy rock.
No, he's boy country.
Oh.
Or no, man country.
I thought he changed his name to Adult Contemporary.
That's awesome.
That's the new CD. He doesn't play ba with the ba the danga dang dinga dinga anymore. Or cowboy.
What's that? I thought that was Limp Bizkit.
Nope. You could have thought so, but that was Kid Rock's big bust-out single before Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
The Bob Diddy Bob the Dang Diddy Dang Diddy.
Hey, it's called Ba with the Ba.
Ba with the Ba.
Ba dang a dang dingy dingy. That came
out.
Was
he out
right
on a boat or something? He's gone dingy.
It came out right about the same time as a Nookie. I did it all
for
the Nookie.
Yeah, so I probably thought it was just more over
the second single.
Biscuit.
Yeah, this was the second single from
those guys. Been around for like 20 years now.
Yeah, they're classic rock.
Whatever happened to a badly drawn boy?
I know, I've heard that phrase.
And it's Wes Borland's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was the coolest one of the band, as far as I'm concerned. Crazy kid. That crazy kid, that Wes Borland.
Well, he was kind of a noisy player, right? Like but he liked to experiment with tonal sounds, right? Like Morello.
For sure. He kind of had to fill that out since he was the only guitarist in the band.
Yeah, and then, you know, but you had Fred Durst.
Idiot.
Shut up so we could just fucking enjoy the music.
Hey, what's up, Red Cap?
No shit, you know.
Do you know that it's his?
Like, see one picture of him.
Do you know that it's his fucking fault that we have to endure Puddle of Mud? Did you hear that story?
No.
Puddle of Mud frontman, whatever the fuck his name is, gets backstage and slips a tape to a security guard and asks, "Please give this to Fred Durst." Thought nothing of it. They're from Kansas or something like that. So 3 weeks later, he gets a call from Fred Durst. Says, "Man, I really like the material on this demo. Who wrote these songs?" "Oh, that'd be me. I'm like the Puddle of Mud dude." And then he said, "All right, well, I want to sign you, but not your band. You need to come out to L.A. We got a band for you." He said yes. Ouch to your friends, buddy. Ouch to the friends. You're from Kansas. Fred Durst says, "Come to L.A. I've got your Puddle of Mud hanging." And so he just was thrown into this band of gypsies and had to leave his fucking friends behind. So that's always a sad day in history.
You should at least sign him up for roadies or something.
Yes. Come back. So you guys should start another band called Puddles of Mud Puddles or something.
You know what I would have answered when he said, "Who wrote these songs?"
The whole band.
I would have said,
the drummer.
Let's see. I think DRI wrote one of them. I think Nirvana wrote another.
What does that even mean? What does that even mean, Gatch?
That means that they ripped off those fucking riffs and melodies. And
Nirvana wrote that one, huh?
And then one is DRI or maybe an SOD song, it seems like.
Puddle of Mud?
Yeah. Dude. It's just a real simple three-chord fucking song.
Hey Hans, you're the Puddle of Mud aficionado in our listening base. What is that one song that they do? Because I know that you were listening.
Hans's CD player.
That's my segue to Hans.
Now we will find out
later.
He told us to stay moist.
I don't.
It's always something cool.
What does that even mean?
Moist.
He's listening to Skit System, which I was not familiar with until he gave me a vinyl copy of one of their records. He's listening to Stigmata.
Do they do any skits?
They do stick skits.
Ah.
They do
stick skits.
They parodies of skits, sticks songs. Skit sticks. Skit system. I don't know if we asked you.
What was the song or what was the album that you said?
Stigmata.
Wow. That is a...
That's a movie with Patricia Arquette.
And it is also a song by
Ministry.
Baja Stigmata Mater.
It's also a song by Ministry.
Yeah, there you go.
Lots of songs.
And that is the Stigmata cast.
All right, what have you been listening to lately, Flames? What's in your CD player? Or do you just listen to the radio? Oh, you don't listen to the radio.
No, in my tape player, I've
besides a Monomarth.
That's usually what I have.
Really? Yeah. You're just stuck on a full Monomarth diet?
Yeah.
What were you
right
listening
now
to before Monomarth?
I was actually, believe it or not,
Jamaica Monomarth.
I was listening to Brudos.
Ooh, right on. Local rockers from Salem.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good disc. A little demo disc. Have you heard it?
I have it, but I haven't got to listen to it yet. The drummer actually gave me a copy of it, but I haven't rolled it yet.
Yeah.
What was I listening to? I've been listening to so much stuff lately, man. It's cool because, like, at 11 or whenever my wife goes to bed, I just roll out the six disc magazine and listen to six discs on random while I play Tiger Woods golf. And what did I stick in there? Alice Cooper's Greatest Hits was what I rolled recently. And there was a bunch of tunes on there that I wasn't super familiar with that were actually pretty good.
Frankenstein?
No, this was the old one from like 1974.
Oh, so there's no Poison on there?
No. The newest hits on it were like School's Out and Elected, or I Want to Be Elected.
Yeah, Poison.
$1 Billion Babies.
Yeah, $1 Billion Babies. And then a bunch that I hadn't heard.
Dude, that song is...
And the, I'm 18 and all those.
It's my favorite Alice Cooper song.
Which one?
$1 Billion Babies.
That song to me and...
Sorry.
And Are You Experienced?
By Jimi Hendrix?
Truly fucking psychedelic fucking
hell
shit.
Oh, yeah. That's the first backwards guitar solo I'd ever introduced to.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just the vocal, like, weird effects on the $1 Billion Babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's creepy.
Creep City.
I've seen him live, and he's actually puts on a very good show.
I seen a recent, not live, but live on television of him in 2012, still putting on a great show.
Singing great.
Oh, yeah, he hits all the notes, because it's not like high, but I mean, he's old, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's at least 60-something, 65, and he's still getting out there and rocking it up. You think so? He's really good at golf.
Most singers take roids.
That's why I was doing so good when I was playing Tiger Woods and listening to Alice Cooper, dude.
Yeah.
I hit three holes and ones.
So you've been playing Tiger Woods. Terry's been into Tiger Woods. Can you believe it? Remember our old Tiger Woods days?
Oh, yeah.
Flames?
This is my Tiger Woods 08.
Uh-huh.
And I've beat Tiger Woods now a couple times.
Flames and I, you know, we used to play a good amount, 4 hours a session.
I'm doing the four hour sessions
for sure.
Yeah, we would whip through courses like nobody's business.
Oh yeah.
So you have said before that you got your own custom character, right?
He looks kind of like building me, but the hair only goes to like,
yeah, that's why I always do like the green mohawk or whatever.
Yeah, or but pretty much the face on. I got the darker hair with the lighter colored soul patch, which kind of in the sideburns. So it kind of looks like me, and I've always got the coolest clothes. You know, I'm wearing some high top Converse with some knee socks
and
some cool shorts.
Shirt.
And now I have like $800,000 and I've already bought every club in the fucking thing. You can only have, because just I thought I might do better if you have one of everything, except for the ones that are locked that I haven't got through the tour, which I'm too. I've got player of the month every month from May through September.
Nice.
Wow. In 2008, and I don't know how many years the calendar goes, but I think you were saying it goes like 10 years or something.
Some of the games that I've played that were previous to that.
I'm afraid to go look ahead because, you know, I just won the Halloween Invitational, and some of those people are tough to beat. But I
couldn't believe I had to go back like 8 years to find the Tiger Woods that had Justin Timberlake on it.
What?
Yeah.
What year's that?
It's like 05.
I didn't even know he was on one.
Yeah, he was the hustler. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Flames remembers. He was all dressed up and he had his whole storyline, like, you know, the storylines of when you go through the little challenges or whatever.
Right.
And it was his voice and
that's too his, funny.
Dude, he had those fucking weirdest dude like molester swing too.
Dude, some of them
his
do.
Fucking butt
there's this one guy that
was fucking
Moto. He's like this big fucking.
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, he does
like
a
the
weird
Hawaiian guy.
He goes, and then if he misses, he'll like fall on his ass because he's all fat, and he'll just go, and it'll shake the whole screen. Then I'm doing this one guy who's like a weightlifter guy, and if he misses a putt, he'll like bite the head off of his fucking putter and stuff, and like breaking his shit all the time. It's just like totally aggro.
See, I think you should be able to do that like with your clubs and stuff when it's your turn.
Oh, well, there is. I went in there and it's got like negative reactions and positive reactions.
Oh, yeah.
You can buy them, but it just goes through them randomly. Mine's, it's dumb. He just kind of goes, oh. I swear, every time they miss a putt or do a bad shot, they say fuck.
Sounds
watch
like
their mouth.
It's tough, though, when, you know.
I
those
swear
things
they
are
say
funny,
fuck.
But then every, you know, when you got to go through every shot to watch that little tiny clip that you've seen 100 times.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to skip
it.
Yeah.
Skipper.
So how far along are you? Are you at 100% or whatever?
I'm maxed out. I can't. Yeah. And there's only one person. There's a super tiger on there.
Yeah.
And he's got 11s. I'm at all 10s. And there's one person that's like a pro. I don't remember his name, but he's got like some 10.5s. I don't know if there's any way you can get past 10 on your self-created character.
I don't know.
But I've got so many experience points built up that I can't use because all my abilities
maxed.
Are maxed out. Yeah. So it's fun, though. It gives me something
to think you'd be able to at least get to Tigers.
But I don't even get to play against him in like match play. It's usually or stroke play. It's match play. It's not even skins. It's just like hole for hole.
Yeah.
And I want to play him like stroke play. I want to stroke.
Yeah, you want to play a full 18 on him.
I mean, it is a full 18, but it's always like they don't really keep track of the par.
You don't get to finish out every
it's
hole.
It's just you're either one up or two up or even or whatever.
Whoever makes the putt in the lowest number or whatnot.
Yeah, kill them all.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. I haven't played probably since, it was probably before the scandal that he had.
Yeah.
So it was before you could hit your wife with your club.
You can't do that. That was fake on South Park. That was excellent.
sure you can.
The Tiger Woods game where you beat your wife up with her friend. She breaks the back window out
they're
of
back together, you know.
SUV. No, he's got a new wife and she approves of him. Or her. I just read that in the headline the other day.
Wait, I thought that...
Tiger has a new girlfriend and his ex approves.
Yeah. Oh, I thought they were hanging out and they were seeing each other again.
Maybe he's having a three-way.
I don't know. Well, either way.
Either way.
Maybe he's having a par
three. It's a fun game, man.
Yeah, he's having a par three.
I've always enjoyed that game.
That's what golfers call threesomes.
Yeah?
Par three.
Par three.
Hey, you want to have a par three with me and my partner? Yeah. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. Happy Friday to you guys all. Go do something fun. There's a show at the Dixie. There's shows galore everywhere. If you stick around after the show, you can hear the plugs, and I'll tell you where to go and what to do. I'm sure you can find something fun to do. Thanks for being here, Flames.
Yeah.
You did a little vegging, but that's what me and Dustin are here for. To talk.
To be the protein.
So, this being episode 439, we've only got, what, two episodes left? Are we going to do, we're going to do 42?
Yeah, I think we did, we ended on 41 last time.
So we're going to do 42 this time?
42. I think we did 42 last time. Whichever it was, or we did a bonusode or something, or we did a zero.
Dude, we've had like 160 episodes.
Zero.
160. Can you believe it? Coming into our fifth season. Thanks to all of our faithful listeners.
Over a year now.
Hans and Carrie. Those are our two faithful listeners. All right, so you guys have a wonderful weekend and peace out.
Rock on!
Metal Cookie. Hey, all you taggots, what's up? I am here to tell you what's up. You're going to go do some shows. Go do some shows. Go watch them. Go play them, whatever you want to do. May 26th, we got Sick Man, the Alice in Chains cover band at the Black Forest, opening for national touring band Moss Generator. It's going to be a free show, 10 o'clock, 21 and over. May 28th, Bolt Thrower, Benediction, Hillshock. It's going to be a great show at the Star Theater in Portland. It's been years since either of those bands, Bolt Thrower or Benediction, have played over here, so that would be great. May 31st, it's Usnia, Bellwitch, Norska, and Bastard Feast at the Ash Street Saloon in Portland. I think the tickets are like $5 or $8. You can get them at Ash Street's website. Also that night, if you're not into the Doom thing, you can go see some thrashy death metal at the Hawthorne Theater with Fear Factory, Hate Eternal, Cobra, and the Lotus. Tickets are on sale now. You should get them. That might sell out. As well as this show, Saturday night, June 1st, Lamb of God with Decapitated and Terror at the Roseland Theater in Portland. And then the next night, at the Black Forest, it's Omnility, Necryptic, Compulsive Slasher, a couple other bands, Death Metal Onslaught. It's a free show, 21 and over, starts a little earlier than most Black Forest shows, 9 p.m. because there's a ton of bands. June 4th, Intronaut, Scale the Summit, Earth to Ashes, The Odious, and Never Awake at the Hawthorne Theater. Listen to Sick Daddy Radio at sickdaddyradio.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to that show. It's June 4th. Intronaut is a great band, as well as Earth to Ashes, local rockers. June 8th, it's Album Palooza 2, fundraiser for local charity. It's at the Albany Riverside Community Center, featuring Strange Dichotomy, The Milestoners, Apophis Theory, Catechus, Bikini, American Roulette, Ed to Shred, Bikini, and Kevin Smith. I don't know who Kevin Smith is, but he'll be there as well. And if you can't make it to that, say you're in Portland that night, June 8th, go see Necryptic from Eugene, playing with World of Lies and Damage Overdose, also Hyborian Rage, featuring Dan from Truculence. That's happening at Katie O'Brien's, a bar that's been recently doing some extreme metal shows, which is good to see. Some comedy shows coming up. June 13th, Tracy Morgan from, you know, Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock. He's going to be at the Newmark Theater telling his dark brand of humor up in Portland. The next night, June 14th, that's a Friday, at Cornucopia in Eugene, 5th and Pearl. It's the Pantsless Comedy Show hosted by Mike McGowan. I will be featuring that night. I don't know who the headliner is, but apparently we'll all have our pants off. That's a free show. It's 21 and over. You should come down and laugh with us. Maybe you'll laugh at us because we don't have our pants on. June 20th at the Wow Hall, it's Pauly Shore. Do you think he's still going to do the same stuff that he's been doing? I don't know if I'd pay to see that, but you might want to go out to the Wow Hall and check that out if you'd like. A bunch of other shows coming up, like Lynyrd Skynyrd and Bad Company at the Sleep Country Amphitheater. June 21st for that one. July 3rd, the Rockstar Mayhem Festival with Rob Zombie, Mastodon, Amon Amarth, many more. White River Amphitheater in Auburn, Washington. July 18th, we got Black Flag. Don't get your hopes up, though. No Henry Rollins there. They'll be playing with Good For You and Piggy at the Hawthorne Theater. July 20th at 6 Feet Under, Decrepit Birth and Cannabis Corpse. Not to be confused with Cannibal Corpse, a band that does pot parodies of Cannibal Corpse songs. They're a great, great band. Also coming this summer, the day before my birthday, August 24th, Black Sabbath at the Gorge. Lots of stuff for you guys to do. If it's a Friday night, go check out Comedy at the Baghdad. It's always going on. And when you get home, listen to TagCast Podcast. I can't speak. It's at tagcastpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.